Hey folks, greetings from the Offensive Security Group here at Secure IT 360, coming at you with a new episode of the Cyber Threat Perspective. You've got Mr. Tyler Roberts here, as well as myself, Brad. Today, we're talking about the evolution of pen testing TTPs. If you don't know what any of that means, we're going to solve that for you today. But more specifically, I guess from an admin perspective, you know, if you guys like what we're doing, like, subscribe, share with your friends. That really helps us out, kind of gets the word out. I just realized my background, if you're watching this on YouTube, is backwards for some reason. But anyway, it's not important. So continuing on, you know, let's kind of break this topic down a little bit. One of the reasons that I thought it would be awesome to have Tyler on is he is almost solely responsible for external pen testing process, right? Now, what is a TTP? So I think we use that term. We stole it from the military, by the way. And like a lot of our terminology, because, you know, we are offensive security, we are the kind of the attack team, if you will. So we do borrow a lot of phraseology from the military, but
it's another acronym in the IT world.
Yeah, man. We need more. Yeah. We need more of those, don't we? We need more. So what is a TTP? I'll give you my thoughts on it. Tyler, you can jump in anytime too. You know, a tactic, technique, and procedure is what it actually means. You know, to me, it's a broad basket that we throw things in for, like, process. Like, if I'm going to go do task A, there's going to be a technique for that or a process for that. And so, you know, it's probably that we probably misuse it most of the time, but that's really what that terminology
is. See, I thought it was tools, tactics, and procedures. I guess I kind of morphed it.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I mean, it's ambiguous, right? But I think generally speaking, most people in our world know what a TTP is, even if they don't know specifically what all the letters mean. You know, we're basically talking about a process. What is the thing that you do to accomplish whatever the goal is? And so an example of that, just to kind of drive that home, would be if we're going to perform let's say we're going to do a mobile pen test. Right. We'll talk more about that later. You know, what is your process for that? How do you do that? What are the tactics, the techniques, and the procedures, or in your case, tools, techniques, and procedures that you would use to perform that particular, you know, activity? And so that's kind of broadly what we're using that term for.
Yeah. TTPs to me is any repetitive task that I'm going to do over and over again. It's kind of like a brain dump on paper so that I know what I need to do and how I need to execute it. A great example is just, you know, our pre-engagement phases, setting everything up. What do I do? What's the process of that? And just putting it on paper somewhere. You know, that's kind of how I envision my TTPs.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do. I just changed my background. So it was driving me crazy because it was backwards and it's messing with me. But, you know, the purpose really, I think, of this podcast is talking about the evolution of TTPs, right? And I think it's probably a little bit self-explanatory that these things evolve, that they change over time. But I think specifically we should answer the question because the change of a TTP is a TTP in and of itself, right? And so I think we have to kind of nail down what would trigger a change. Why would we make a change to our process? You know, what are the conditions for that? You probably have some specifics for externals. Do you want to just kind of like, would you change, you know, your process?
Yeah, well, we live in an ever-evolving threat landscape, right? There's new threats evolving every day. There's different ways and more efficient ways to do different processes that I have. There's, you know, better ways to gather more information faster. So it really just all comes down to how can I save time? How can I be more efficient? And how can I leverage more things faster? The best way for me to kind of explain my TTPs is just run through, you know, kind of my reconnaissance process of my external process, because that's been the phase that has seen the most improvement over the years. Starting out, our process was, it was a bit smaller because there weren't as many tools out there at the time when we first started for gathering all the information that we gather now. And as part of evolving and improving that process, you know, we're on different feeds, we're looking at different tools that are coming out in different forums, and we're using them in-house against ourselves. And we're asking the question, you know, does this benefit us? Is this providing more information than what we had previously? Does it make sense to implement this? And if those boxes are checked, then a new tool gets added to the process and we start using it to get that new information. And so just a real life example is subdomain enumeration, which has probably seen probably six or seven tools in the process that have gone through. And, you know, we're finally at a point where we're leveraging, I don't know, three or four different tools to gather as much subdomain information as possible to build that attack footprint day one, just to go and leverage all of that in the further days. And the evolution of that is probably what I'm the most happy with, because I feel like that provides the most benefit to us and to the people that we're testing against.
Without question, man. And, you know, we've said it before on this podcast and previous episodes, and especially for external pen testing, right? The reconnaissance that you do, the quality and thoroughness of the reconnaissance that you do, really dictates this overall success of the engagement, right? If your recon is crappy, then you're not going to have a very good engagement, and the client's not going to get a ton of benefit. And so I've been really happy with the evolution of our passive and active reconnaissance phases for external pen testing. And dude, it's funny to see it, because you go back to, you know, when I was doing external pen tests like 5 years ago, for example, right? There were like three tools. You know, and I mean, half of them weren't even tools. They were scripts that I wrote or things that, you know, I stole off GitHub, but it was like Harvester, you know, Google and Dig,
the Harvester.
Right. And I mean, it's been around forever, and, you know, it may still even be relevant. I know we've evolved away from it just because there are better things. You know, I think it's a really good example of what used to be the gold standard. And now we've kind of, we've improved on that. We have now a collection of tools that do everything the Harvester does, but better. I mean, you know, that's actually a really good example. I think your user enumeration process has changed pretty significantly.
Yes.
You know, before we had things like Phonebook CZ and OneDrive Enum and all this other stuff, just finding usernames was almost, you know, Google foo.
Yep.
And so you were looking for people who signed up for forums and usernames, and, you know, and it was just, it was not always very straightforward. Now, fortunately, all these vendors have come out with really crappy things that we leverage. So that's good for us, bad for clients. But, you know, that evolution has been fascinating, you know?
Yeah. Cause I think a huge part of external penetration tests is the exploitation phase. And majority of that, that clients will see is that password spray, because we're looking for initial footholds there. So, you know, just evolving how we gather usernames and the breadth of what we gather now versus what we used to has been a huge evolution. But I think not all of what we've evolved in the process has specifically been putting in tools. You know, an evolution of a TTP can also be such as adding switches to an in-map scan to make it faster. You know, figuring out what makes scans run faster like that, different commands that work better than others is another thing that we've improved, because you know, in-map's tough to work around, and those scans taking 5 years on an engagement wasn't really working for us. So that's also been a huge improvement and time save.
It only takes a couple of slash 16s for you to be like, wow, my in-map commands suck, you know? but no, I'm glad you brought that up, because that actually kind of adds some depth to the conversation, because it's not just that a new tool came out, or it's not just that this tool aged out, or we're not using it anymore. It could just be efficiencies, or, you know, it doesn't even have to be a tool. In a lot of cases, we changed how we use something, or, you know, you've written some automation to make gluing these three or four different processes work together better, you know? And I think those evolutions are important as well, because those efficiencies get passed on to the client, you know? So, I mean, there's efficiency, there's effectiveness. You know, what you did with UDP scanning, I think, has changed the game for us on external pen testing, because it is, you know, what used to take 2 days now takes an hour, and it's just as effective as it always has been. And so actually more in that case, because it's faster.
Yep.
And we actually get results instead of a you know, a broken XML file. So yeah, no, that's a really good point. You know, so there are other elements into it that also change. And I'll tell you something else that drives change is the evolution of the client technology stack. You know, we were 5 years ago, we're pretty light on cloud enumeration.
Yep.
You know, we didn't do a lot of cloud scraping, cloud enum. We weren't looking as much for open buckets or references to third-party libraries and stuff like that. And so that has become almost a cornerstone of external penetration testing now.
Yeah. And just the tales for the trenches on why we do that for everybody. Cloud has become cutting edge for, you know, almost everybody is using cloud in some capacity, and not everybody knows how the cloud works and knows how to properly secure the cloud because it is so bleeding edge. And so in an engagement I had recently, you know, I was able to access a company's internal S3 bucket because they just had left it open. They had an ACL that they had meant to implement on their internal subnet to be accessed within the company, and it broke, and everybody on the public internet could access it. And the contents of that, you know, that bucket were not all inherently malicious, but I was looking at, you know, their internal documentation, internal videos they had recorded. And, you know, if it had been anything but that, and if I had more time to go through all those videos, because some were like 3 hours long, I'm sure I would have been able to obtain some, you know, pretty personal information they probably don't want everybody on the public internet to have access to.
Yeah, it's funny you say that too, because one of my old bosses, his name was Shane, he actually used to say something in meetings and in like technology discussion groups and stuff like that. And it was always, if you're one ACL screw up away from an incident, you have a problem, you know? And so we used to have those conversations when we did firewall reviews, you know, rule reviews. We used to have those conversations with third-party vendors and people that hosted our stuff. And we're just like, hey, it's not good enough. You have to have a layered approach. And to your point, a lot of the TTPs that we have been either decided to add in or really been forced through the change of technology to add into our process, they find those things. And that's, you know, again, added value, added benefit. It also helps us on initial access, which we're all a big fan of. But yeah, man, no, I completely agree that the cloud stuff is huge. And that's another example of, you know, it's not that tools changed. It's not that anything aged out or we wanted to be efficient. There was a whole new breadth of technology that didn't exist.
Different demand of stuff that we need to get on board with. Yeah,
absolutely, man. And you know, similarly, you know, with web application penetration testing, that's kind of been my passion for like the last two decades. And, you know, that has evolved pretty tremendously too, right? Because before, yeah, you had, you know, third-party libraries, but they were, you know, not a core component. Nowadays, man, there's three lines of actual original code and everything else is Node.js and freaking APIs. And so, you know, so now we've pivoted and we're now looking for, you know, libraries with vulnerabilities, and we're looking for, you know, different things. And yeah, we're still looking for all that old stuff, but we have to, you know, and that's kind of what's funny about web apps. None of the old stuff ever goes away, right? We're still doing stored cross-site scripting the same way we did it in 1999, and it's still vulnerable and every, you know, so it's kind of silly, but now we're also having to look for things like, you know, are your tokens where they need to be, you know, your JWTs, are they squared away? So it does evolve. It does change. It does force you to kind of make those TTP changes.
Yeah. And I think a point we can make here is the cross-pollination of processes has helped evolve both. Because I think a lot of what Darius has improved on the web apps has also bled over into the externals. And we use those when we're reviewing different web applications for vendors.
Yep, without question. I completely agree with that. And we've had to do that on a lot of fronts, you know. And so, like, for example, we do kind of a miniature web app pen test on external pen testing. And so a lot of what Darius's TTPs that have evolved have bled over into what we're doing on the externals. You know, same thing with internals. We were just having a conversation this morning about how, you know, Spencer found a vulnerable web app inside the organization that he's doing an internal pen test on. And so, you know, you do kind of peripherally bring up the other processes as you evolve the processes that you have, you know. And I think that could also be said for mobile too. Mobile's been something that's evolved quite a bit. And that one bleeds over into API pen testing because there's always an API behind a mobile app. So, yeah, I mean, it's a never ending process. And, you know, my biggest question, I think, and just kind of bringing everything, to summary is, you know, how do you keep track of it all? Like, is there any kind of like process that you have? Like, do you just like wake up on Monday morning and you're like, I'm going to go through the internet today and see if there's any, you know what I mean? Or, you know, is it, you know, how does it trigger? What are you using for that?
Yeah. A lot of the times it's just reviewing different forums and feeds that I've found to be useful for people just saying, hey, these tools are cool. sometimes it's Spencer, you know, Spencer's like, hey, saw this when I was
reading an article on the internet. Yeah.
And so, I mean, a lot of it can be from coworkers. Some of it's from articles, you know, there's so many different places where you can get these guys just browsing the internet, you know, browsing GitHub. Even you can do keyword searches in GitHub for different tools and 400 different ones will pop up. Yeah. You know, probably 300 of those are complete crap, but you know, you're going to find one that's going to fit what you need. And so, you know, that's just been my process on how those, all the tools that I currently use have gotten into the process.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And, I've even gone so far in some cases as to set up like a Feedly account where I'm currently carving up all of the forums and blogs and things. I think I'm watching like 42 sources or something. And so that way, like, you know, you can add a glimpse, go through and be like, oh, cool, there's a new, you know, POC for this particular thing. And if I want to grab it, I can. So those aggregators can probably help a little bit with that, you know, and you guys who even if you're not a pen tester, right, there's lessons and value from this entire discussion and this entire process, because, you know, it works for you doing security tools or IT tools or whatever it is. But you really do have to kind of do the legwork and keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the community, whatever your community is, you know, whether it's firewalls or whether it's, you know, for us pen testing, you can still apply everything we talked about here to, you know, to your role.
Yeah. And a big note on TTPs, guys, don't trust every tool you see in GitHub, please. Internal test every single thing that you want to use before you use it on a client facing engagement.
Yep. We have a phrase internal here at the Offensive Security Group here at Security 360, and that is know your freaking tools, except it's just know your tools. But but we even have t-shirts where they say hashtag know your tools, because it's that important. And so, all right, before we go, I'm going to share a story. I was doing a pen, this is a number of years ago, I was doing a pen test. It was an internal penetration test. And in this particular case, I was shipping a laptop to the client. And I shipped it to him like a week in advance before the pen test started. It was a Kali box and I was going to remote into it and do the internal penetration test from home. And so the box had been on their network for like 30 minutes. And I get a call from the senior security analyst dude at this company. And he's like, hey man, any particular reason that your box is talking over Tor to the internet? And I was like, shouldn't be. Well, it turns out the release of Kali that came out when I like right before I installed that laptop came by default with Tor for updates. And I didn't know that. And naturally I didn't sniff the network to see what was going on. And so I ended up having to remote in and like, you know, apt get remove, you know, everything related to Tor to get it to stop doing that. But it was embarrassing, right? It was like, I should know the thing that you've entrusted me to put on your network. So yeah, to your point, don't trust that shit, man. You got to check it out for yourself.
Yep. Yep. You don't want to accidentally run a tool and then bring a whole client's network down, guys.
I mean, technically that's a denial of service vulnerability. I'm just saying, but no, we don't do that. So, listen, folks, that's all we have for you today. If you've enjoyed it, like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff really helps us out. And we will see you next Wednesday.